You're recording.
All right, we are ready, back in session. We are on section three, number one. This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Barbara Kaminsky, BVM, in case number 2212. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given in ARS 32-2234. Please state your name for the record.
Barbara Kaminsky, BVM.
And David Stahl, parents' legal counsel for Dr. Kaminsky.
Thank you. Dr. Kaminsky, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials. Other than, we do have a letter that is submitted by Jackie Burkett. And their personal copies for all board members.
Purpose, or this proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Ms. Frost, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
So on July 10, 2021, Darwin, a 20-year-old married male
doctor
carrier, was presented to respondent for
euthanasia. Ms. Frost, please speak up a little louder, please.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. Complainant expressed concerns that due to her being an employee, her dog was not handled respectfully and not euthanized in a timely manner, causing unnecessary suffering.
Dr. Kaminsky, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
We'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I would like to respond to the summary. Dr. Kaminsky was not present last month when you reviewed the investigative committee's recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. During your review of that recommendation, Ms. Frost indicated that she wanted to move the case to an informal interview because of a letter that had been allegedly submitted by Dr. Virginia Kern. In her mind, in Ms. Frost's mind, that raised questions as to what happened when the complainant, who is a former receptionist at the practice, presented her dog to be euthanized. We did not have a copy of the letter Dr. Kern allegedly submitted in this matter at that time. Once the case was moved to an informal interview, we made a request for information, and I obtained a copy of that letter and presented it to Dr. Kern for her review. Dr. Kern was shocked when she saw the letter because she had never seen it before. She's adamant that she did not sign it. This is not Dr. Kern's statement. She didn't sign it, and she will tell you, if you wish to call her here today, that the information in that statement is false. Again, the complainant is a disgruntled former employee and but was a receptionist at East Mesa Animal Hospital last July. Although she wanted her dog to be seen for an emergency euthanasia, the complainant did not follow the practice policies and procedures for having employee pets seen. Those policies and procedures are in the handbook, an employee handbook, sections of which we submitted in advance. minutes of this hearing. Instead, the complaint arrived at the hospital at 8 o'clock in the morning, an hour before Dr. Gaminski was scheduled to begin her day. As Dr. Gaminski indicated in her statement, she would have been happy to arrive early to euthanize the complainant's dog if the complainant would have called her and made arrangements in advance, but she didn't do that. When Dr. Gaminski arrived at the hospital at 9 o'clock to start her shift, she saw a gentleman in the treatment room with a dog on the table. Dr. Gaminski did not recognize the man or the dog. She assumed the man was a new patient, or a client. Dr. Gaminski then went into an exam room for her first scheduled appointment. When the appointment was finished, Dr. Gaminski was told that she had a euthanasia in room one. When she went into room one to perform the euthanasia, the man she'd seen before told her not to euthanize the dog because Dominique, the complainant, wanted to be present for the euthanasia. Dr. Gaminski then went on to her next appointment. Approximately 20 to 30 minutes later, around 9:30 or 9:45, when Dr. Gaminski's scheduled 9:30 appointment didn't show, she euthanized the complainant's dog. So that was within the first hour when Dr. Gaminski arrived for work that day. But that wasn't soon enough for the complainant, who filed this complaint claiming that the dog wasn't euthanized quickly enough. The complainant then supported her complaint with a forged witness statement from the practice owner, Dr. Kern. As you know, Dr. Kern is no longer practicing, and I know she never anticipated having to appear before you again, but she is willing and able to appear by phone if you have any questions for her. Her real testimony does not support the complainant's version of what took place. Also, Dr. Gaminski and all of her staff are here this morning if you have any questions for them. I'll leave it up to you if you need any additional information, but this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Now I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Gaminski.
This is Nikki Frost. So I do have a question in regards to the timeline. I think Mr. Spool just said 9:30, and in the statement by Dr. Gaminski, it was 9:30, 9:45 whenever she heard Dr. Kern getting her out of the room to come take care of the euthanasia. So I guess I want to understand the discrepancy in that statement, that kind of time frame.
Also, for the record, what I said in my statement was that it was between 9:30 and 9:45.
When I was told not to euthanize, when I found out that it was a euthanasia in room one, that was approximately 9:15 when I came out of my 9 o'clock appointment. Next appointment was already checked in, so I went in on the second appointment. When I came out, I went back into the first room to see if Dominique was there. She was not in the room. I went up front. She was checking in a boarder. So since my appointment was already, the next appointment was already there, I went into the following appointment. Every time in between the rooms, I would go back to see if Dominique was in the room. When she was not, and I had an appointment already checked in, ready to be seen, I went in on those appointments. I did not feel that it was fair for that gentleman that was in room one to be standing there when we could bring the dog to the back, and when Dominique was ready, then we can go ahead and euthanize. I was trying to be considerate of a gentleman that was doing Dominique a favor, so that way he could get on with his day. The dog was taken on a gurney to the back, placed in the first run, and that was the only place that he was taken to. I went in on my 9:45 appointment because they arrived early. I walked into the room, did not even start my exam on a neurologic kitten. When I heard the gurney and saw the dog being back up into the room. Then when I was in the room, I heard Dr. Kern asking someone to get me out of the room so that way I could use my Sedaquil.
What time was that?
Between 9:30 and 9:45. So when I heard Dr. Kern, I was kind of surprised that she was in the building. I didn't hear her until then. I came out, I euthanized the dog, then I went back into room 3 to examine the neurologic kitten, and I left Darwin on the gurney, and I had the technician go ahead and to take care of the body. That's as far as I know, as far as what happened with Dr. Kern. With Dominique, she was present in the hallway when we euthanized, but as far as the body being addressed after I euthanized, I have no knowledge. I was not present.
And Dr. Grimsky, when you walked into that room the first time and saw Darwin, or you saw the gentleman, did you see Darwin in there too?
Yes.
And whenever you saw Darwin, just because veterinarians are very talented at being able to visually assess their patients, what was your assessment of him? Was he, did he look in distress, painful, suffering, anything other that you would note in his condition?
He was calm. He was sitting sternal. His head was raised. There was no open mouth breathing. There was no respiratory distress.
Thank you.
Neither board members.
And then,
go ahead.
I have one more question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, understanding that this letter, and I would like to hear Dr. Kern, but understanding this letter, you had seen it before. Whenever you heard Dr. Kern in the hallway, what was your interaction with her when you came out of the room? Is that letter to depict the actual interactions, or do you recall those interactions?
I did not say anything to Dr. Kern. Everything was there to euthanize Darwin. I went ahead and euthanized, and that was the extent of Dr. Kern and my contact.
Okay, thank you. That's all I can say.
Any other board members have questions?
I have a question of staff.
No more questions? All right, give me a step. Well, I guess put on the phone, see if I can stay right there. We'll now hear from the complainant. And we're on the phone. Would you please state your name for the record?
Yes, Dominique Sprague.
Okay. And you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
And you are the complainant in this case, is that correct?
That is correct. Okay.
We've read the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
Okay, just to address a couple of things, I was not disgruntled when I left. It was said that this was an alleged letter, and it was not signed by Dr. Kern. It was signed by Dr. Kern and witnessed by one of our employees at the company at her home. It was signed by her, it was written by her. There is no reason why I would ever submit something that was alleged or anything else. The statements that I did represent are 100% accurate. Whoever's there today, there are very few employees at the company that are still with the company that were there at that particular time. And like I said, Dr. Kern did sign the statement. It is not alleged. I was not disgruntled. There were no company policies in place, and everything that I submitted is accurate and to the fact.
Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
This is Nikki Brown. I do have a question.
Sure.
Ms. Brown, did you submit that statement on behalf of Dr. Kern?
No, I did not submit it on behalf of her. She submitted the statement and signed the statement herself. We sat down, we discussed it. She told me her recollection of it, and that was what happened. And the letter was actually available at the last hearing. It was presented to the board at that time. So it was available prior to the last hearing. It didn't just show up.
Okay, thank you.
So I guess a more specific question is, how did our staff acquire this letter dated January 12, 2022? It has Dr. Virginia Kern on the letter on the at the top.
Correct.
And apparently her signature at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
How did that document get into the hands of the staff here at the board?
I was under the impression and had been, she told me that she was going to have someone fax the letter.
Okay. So this is not something you put in your packet or anything
no.
you submitted?
That's correct.
Any other board members have questions? Not seeing any. Dr. Gaminski, you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
We would just like Dr. Kern to be called. So we'd like.
All right, let's get Dr. Kern on the phone. Kern, Mr. Stoll asked that we call you as a witness, so I'm going to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
May I ask? And
you may lead the question.
Thank you. Dr. Kern, this is David Stoll. We recently provided to you a letter in this case dated January 12, 2022 that you allegedly sent to the veterinary board in connection with the complaint that was filed against Dr. Gaminski. Is this letter that you saw, did you send this letter to the board?
I did not. I did not write the letter.
Did you sign the letter?
No.
The complainant, you weren't here, just said that it was faxed by you to the board. And looking at that letter, does that appear to be a fax letter?
It's hard to say that.
Okay.
Can't tell you that.
Did you happen to notice that the address that was purportedly your address at the time that's on this letter?
No, my address is 430 South Gilbert Road.
And what's the address on the letter that was submitted to the board? It says 420 South Gilbert Road, correct?
Yes.
That's not your address, is it?
No.
That's not the address of the practice, correct?
No.
How long have you been practicing at that, or had you been practicing at that practice before you retired?
1976.
I take it then you were well familiar with your own address at the time, correct?
That's correct.
Having read this letter, is the information in there information that you've provided to the board, or was this something that was made up by someone else and submitted on supposedly on your behalf?
It was made up by somebody else.
Thank you.
Can I address Dr. Kern?
No.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
4. Do any board members have questions for Dr. Kerr?
This is Nikki Ross. I do have a question for Dr. Kern. Dr. Kern, at the time of this event, so in July, who is your office or practice manager?
In July of what year? 21?
Correct, during this event.
You guys removed my license in June of 21. I'm not practicing.
No, who was your office or practice manager?
I don't, didn't have one at that time because I wasn't there.
So you didn't have an office or practice manager in July of 2021?
No, because you relayed my license in June 22nd of 21, and that was it.
So, Dr. Kern, I think what Ms. Frost is asking is that you still own the facility, right? You still own the practice, even though you are not practicing.
No, I own the building.
Just the building.
The practice was worth nothing.
Okay.
According to somebody that came where I had told, when he was listed in the ABMA magazine from Arizona. He came by and he said the practice, as far as the practice was concerned, it was worth nothing. I tried to sell it and it wasn't worth anything, so I said, okay, that's the end of that.
Okay. So you own the building and lease it out, and there just happens to be another veterinary practice in there now?
No, Dr. Kaminsky has started practicing there, and I've allowed her to do that at no charge to me.
I guess the question, this is Dr. Wright, do you still have an LLC that runs the hospital?
An LLC, what's an LLC?
The business itself, do you file business taxes? Do you take any kind of profits? Do you have anything that's filed with the Corporation Commission about a business?
I have no income from that hospital.
So whose name is on the hospital that's operating in that facility at this point? There has to be a veterinarian that owns a business. Unless we're saying this is a business that is just not in existence.
Dr. Kaminsky,
do you own an LLC that runs this business?
I am in the process of buying the practice.
So are we saying there's not an actual legal business there at this point?
It doesn't have to be an LLC.
No, but some kind of business. Something. We have to have some kind of tax ID, something. What are we collecting state and city taxes on?
Security number.
City taxes, sales tax, all this kind of stuff. I mean, are we operating illegally?
No, it's still under my...
So you are the business owner? That's what we're asking. Are you the business owner?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So on the payroll, whoever's responsible for payroll, did you have a practice manager on payroll July 10th?
I did not. Dr. Kaminsky?
There were no employees.
One moment, please. Dr. Kaminsky has been practicing there, and I did not remove my federal tax from that facility. She has been practicing, and whatever she makes goes into a bank account, and on a monthly basis, that is all employees and everything that's there, she's responsible for and pays them.
Well, I don't have any more questions for Dr. Kirsten.
Yeah, that's gonna get out.
I am not being operated illegally. I am paying taxes on that place.
All right, so we need to get back in, we're getting off in the weeds there. So let's get back on track here. Anybody else have questions for Dr. Kern?
I have one question. This is Dr. Nosnick. Have you seen the signature on that letter?
Yes, I've
just
seen that signature on that letter, and it's not my signature.
So that's a complete forgery?
Yes, it is.
And is it similar to your signature? Is it?
It's similar, yes, but that is not my signature.
Okay.
I had a fractured arm, and my signature at that time is not kind of illegible.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions for Dr. Kern? Okay, seeing none. Repeat this because we went to Dr. Kern. Dr. Kaminsky, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
If Dr. Kaminsky just wants to make the point that if this was a true emergency, she asked the rhetorical question, why didn't she call her at home and ask her to come in early? Instead, she waited until the normal time that Dr. Kaminsky arrived at 9 o'clock for appointments and asked and demanded that her dog be immediately euthanized medically. There was no reason to expedite it, despite the fact that she wasn't following practice procedures, which was to schedule this outside the time of normal appointments. Dr. Kaminsky was able to accommodate her and euthanize the dog within 30 to 45 minutes of when she arrived for work. There was no basis for any violation whatsoever in this case, and we ask that it be dismissed as was recommended by the investigative committee. Thank you.
Are there any more questions from the board members?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stoll or Dr. Kaminsky, have either of you done a signature comparison?
I have, and the signature, to be honest, is remarkably similar to Dr. Kern's normal signature. Yeah. It is similar, and I asked Dr. Kern about that because I compared that to the signature on her consent agreement, and she told me, yes, it is similar, as she just did in response to Dr. Nosley's question. But then she immediately volunteered that within weeks of January 12th, 2022, she had surgery on her shoulder and she wasn't able to write her signature anywhere close to what a normal signature would be like.
And that surgery was prior to the
yes.
signature on her?
I believe it was within weeks of January 12th when this was supposed to be signed.
Thank you.
Since the allegations say that this is a disgruntled employee and you were the employer during this time, are there things that were missed in her termination or departure that haven't been disclosed? Again, the assumption was that Dr. Kern was the employer, but in this case, you're the employer. So do you have additional information that would help provide more information to us?
Was that addressed to me or what?
No, to Dr. Gerstein.
At the time, okay, I was hearing to where she was pushing off appointments, not bringing them in, not collecting money, allowing people to charge. And there were plenty of signs up that said that services are due at time of, or payment is due at time of service. So, and Dominique was informed many times that she needs to perform her duties as receptionist to collect payment, that we are not accepting charges. And it was finally written up and given to her. She refused to sign the written statement stating that you need to do this, this is your job, and if it happens again, that your services will be terminated. I happened to hear it myself to where she allowed the client to make payment later. So she was informed by one of the other staff members who acts on my behalf if I cannot do it myself that her services are no longer required.
Am I able to respond to this?
No, Ms. Brigg, your portion is over.
Okay.
Any more questions from board members? Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Am I able to ask board staff how this letter was obtained? Because it was dated the day after the initial investigative committee review. But I don't know how it was received.
It did come via fax. It's hard, we don't know where it came from.
Okay, all right. I just wasn't sure how it arrived, if it was
posted or back. So, an unknown number?
The way I've asked them, it comes in through our email, and so we can't tell where it came from, but it's not indicated on the past paper itself.
Okay, so, obviously, it has reviewed the complaint, the response, and the investigative review committee's thoughts on the case, along with audio. The stories are very different, and that letter definitely raised a lot of questions for me. Considering that the letter isn't a factor anymore. I don't see a violation, so I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2012 with no violation. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of counsel. If a fraudulent document was submitted to this regulatory board, is there any criminal penalty?
There may be. That would need to be reported to the appropriate law enforcement agencies.
Thank you.
But the letter is not fraudulent.
So the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2012. Case 2012. Any further discussion? Then let's do a roll call.
Dr.
Berger.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. James.
Aye.
Mr. Libby.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
The board has voted to dismiss this case. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Gominski, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating today.
Thank you.